Welcome to The Drop, the official podcast of the 130th Airlift Wing. I am Technical Sergeant Kelvin McConnell, and I'll be your host for this episode. Joining us today is Wing Commander Colonel Richard Switzer, Command Chief Jeff King, and special guest Miss Brianna Baker-Meckley. It's May UTA. Colonel Switzer, what are your priorities?
Well, it's good to see you, Sergeant McConnell. Thanks for having us on. It's good to be back on The Drop, although I feel like we were just on here. You know, May UTA is kind of a quick turnaround after April being kind of mid-month with Easter and whatnot. So good to be back here. As always, our number one priority going into any UTA weekend is readiness, specifically how we're set up this weekend to help airmen and units get after readiness. Is we're not going to see a whole lot of large-scale events this weekend. We've got a couple things going on, but that nothing's going to impact the wing at large. One of those things that is happening is the first iteration of the Fast Fly physical. So this is a spinoff of March Medical Madness that's specific to flight physicals, and the med group's going to put this on two times a year in May and November, again, with the hopes of streamlining those processes and giving more time back to the units. We're also going to welcome Colonel Hara down to the wing staff. As our listeners know, Colonel Hara has been the commander of the maintenance group for the last couple years. He was selected and approved to be the next deputy wing commander, so we're excited to get him down here and be part of the team and looking forward to that. And then we've got, like we do every weekend, right, Chief, some fitness going on Saturday.
Yes, sir. We do have a fitness event. It's going to be Saturday at 15:30 up in Aerial Port. Kind of the same flow that we've been doing, the you go, I go partner kind of workout. But also I know that a lot of squadrons, I've been reading through email traffic, that's developed their own fitness plans throughout the weekend and put it in their own drill schedule. So if you can, obviously you'll do your own squadron if you're doing that. But if you want to, you can also double up and do the wings if you want to. I attended FSS's fitness event they had last UTA on Sunday, and it was great. It was real good fun event. They did a kind of like a team competition deal, but it was really good that Zach could put on. So yeah, but 15:30 for the wing event Saturday up in Aerial Port.
Yeah, it's good to see that happening across the wing. And I know for your event you've been hosting each Saturday, those numbers continue to grow. I think we had close to 100 people up in the port, or the small air terminal as it's called now. So good to see folks out there doing that thing and keeping fit. And speaking of fitness, so the Air Force has four pillars for comprehensive airman fitness. Those are social, spiritual, physical, and mental. May happens to be Mental Health Awareness Month. So we decided that we would ask our Director of Psychological Health, or DPH as most people call her, or Brianna as probably most of us call her. So Miss Brianna Baker-Meckley is joining us on this month's podcast to talk about the importance of mental health, maybe some common misconceptions surrounding mental health, and then some of the activities that we're going to be doing here at the wing, and then in conjunction with Joint Force Headquarters down the street. We've got some other stuff going on there too. So we're going to jump right into that discussion. Welcome, Brianna.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on here. As we talked about, you know, the mental pillar of comprehensive airman fitness is important. What do you see as some of those things that you like to talk to people about when it comes to mental fitness, mental health, and why that's important for our airmen?
Sure. I believe that mental health shapes everything about who we are. It shapes how we think, feel, and handle life in general, which is why it's such a crucial part of our overall well-being. And when our mental health is supported and we put effort into our mental health, we cope with stress more effectively, make clearer decisions, and maintain healthier relationships overall, and feel more capable of reaching our goals. It also connects directly to physical health. So you guys like to talk about physical health. I'm a firm believer that there is no physical health without mental health. You have to have mental health to be able to be physically well. And the ways that it connects to your physical health is it influences things like sleep, energy, and how our bodies respond to challenges. In short, taking care of your mind, it's not really optional. It's a foundation for living a balanced and fulfilling life.
Yeah, I think you highlight a really good point there, which is, you know, when you talk about the four pillars and mental fitness or mental health being one of those pillars, it really does interconnect with the other pillars. Like I look at that model that the Air Force had provided for us, which I think is really good because it's simple, you know, and it does focus four core and critical areas to making sure our folks are fit and ready to go, which is super important for the work that we have to do. I kind of look at that model and it's like a chair with four legs. So if you take one of those legs out, the chair doesn't really sit very well.
That's
and
right.
You know, it's a little bit wobbly or wonky and you're probably going to fall out eventually. And certainly that mental health just is connected to the social, to the physical, to the spiritual portions of the comprehensive airman fitness.
Yeah, Colonel, you talked about the readiness part of that. I think that's one piece of the mental health that directly that we can relate to here is the readiness piece. Because if somebody's not mentally in the right spot, they're not ready to go. If they're not ready to go, we can't send them out the door, which is why we're here ultimately,
absolutely.
Right? So,
yeah, that's one of those things, you know, if I hearken back to my time, which it's been a minute since I've been in an airplane, unfortunately, but that you go through that check before you sign in to go fly. Make sure you're mentally ready to go. You've got all your publications in order. You've done all your training requirements and all that. But there's a piece there of the operational risk management that you go through that where you dot, you know, give yourself an assessment on, you know, am I mentally ready to go do what I need to do today? So that's an important part of making sure we're all ready.
I agree.
What do you think first line supervisors can do to ensure that both they and their airmen prioritize mental health?
Okay, that's a great question. I believe that it always starts with ourselves. So, and by that being, if someone is a leader, ensuring that they themselves are taking care of themselves mentally and then showcasing that to their people, showcasing that vulnerability, showcasing that effort into themselves, and then in turn that shows how much that support is there. Leaders play a crucial role in mental health or suicide prevention, whichever way you want to look at that. They're both kind of interchangeable. Long before a service member would ever reach a crisis point. Like, you know, we want to stop things before it gets to a crisis. Like, that is my overall goal with that, is to ensure that it doesn't get to a crisis level. And I think that we do that by having leaders build real connections, recognize warning signs, creating an inclusive, supportive environment, normalizing those conversations around mental health, and encourage self-helping and self-seeking behaviors.
And I think that's important for leaders to be able to acknowledge that, you know, we don't have it all figured out ourselves.
Absolutely.
But to your point, we've got to model that behavior and the self-care and everything so that our airmen know it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times leaders feel like they have to be perfect in every way and that they have to always model the utmost of stoicism or, you know, however that goes. But everybody struggles at times. I've been doing this field for quite some time before I worked for the military and now during. And I've never met anybody who I've ever met that's like, I've never struggled with anything mentally my whole life. And I think that the more that people can feel supported in that and understand that it's okay to talk about it, that it's okay to seek help or go see a DPH or seek outside counseling. I'm a therapist. I've been a therapist for quite some time. I go to therapy every 2 weeks. It's everything to me to have somebody to talk to. You know, we all have really tough positions, and it's wonderful to have that outlet for ourselves.
Yeah, you know, I'm fond of talking about the wingman concept. You know, exactly, I think, what you guys are talking about. You know, especially with first-line supervisors and people that we work with, if we use that wingman concept and know our friends and our peers, not just at their job but outside their job, we can probably pick up on some of these tales. Or maybe they'll be more apt to talk to them and say, hey, are you okay today, or do you need a timeout or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I truly embrace that wingman concept. And typically I use it like when you're going out, right, for the weekend or whatever. But the wingman concept can be throughout the week, throughout the month. And if you see something's off, just ask a little bit.
Yeah, sometimes just like a simple check-in from your first-line supervisor or a peer or, you know, commander or chief is enough to let an airman know that they can come out and talk about things that might be on their mind or impeding their ability to do, you know, anything that they've got going on.
Yeah, sometimes it's tough because, I mean, we are made up of a DSG force. So if you see something that might be off during the weekend, text them during the week.
Absolutely.
You know, just follow up a little bit. It doesn't have, we're not a weekend friends, right? It follows through the week and the month. So pick up your phone, call them, text them if you think something might be off.
Absolutely. It can be hard for anybody in any status, but I think the particular challenge that DSG members face is they're not connected to the wing like everybody else is. They they might go on a TDY or a deployment or only come for drill, and then they go back to other civilian jobs or families, and they don't always have those resources or connections like we do when we're here all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. They're balancing like two careers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which makes it tough. And then you throw in the family situations. It's a whole hodgepodge of a lot of stuff going on. It's challenging at times.
Well, and there's some pretty rural areas in West Virginia. I may or may not have grown up in one of those areas myself, and there's not always access to quality or even any mental health care or counseling support in those areas. And, you know, I would invite them to always know, too, that I'm their DPH every day of the month, not just during drill. And I'm always, you know, accessible to those people to help them find resources or whatever they might need.
Yeah, that's important to know for sure.
Yes.
So we talked a little bit about why mental health is so important, especially in making sure our airmen are ready to go, that they have the resources that they need, that they're mentally fit. What do you think some of the misconceptions surrounding mental health or regarding mental health are for members of the military? Like, what are the things that you see that they're concerned with, or just generally, you know, maybe some stereotypes around seeking mental health assistance?
Sure. Well, I think in West Virginia, period, you know, we're not always a culture of help seeking and vulnerability, right? We're all tough people. But I think something that I specifically see here every day is the fear of what's going to happen to their career if they seek help, if they come see the DPH, if they would go to therapy, if they would take a specific medication, if they talk about their suicidal thoughts, if they talk about their problems with alcohol, if they open up in any way about that. Their fear over and over and over I see is their career. It's every time they come and see me, that's the question that I get. I looked up some data to show that from 2012 to 2023, less than 0.02% of adjudication decisions resulted in denial or revocation for psychological reasons.
Yeah, you're going to have to translate that one.
Sure, sure. Meaning that you're not disqualified from the military for saying, I'm struggling mentally, or I'm struggling with alcohol, or I'm struggling. That's not an automatic disqualification. Now, of course, what I always say is that if you have a certain status, call, ask. Even with that, I'll figure out a way to ensure that you get what you need. But in short, again, what that is saying is that people are not dismissed from the military simply struggling mentally or having a mental issue going on. What we see as far as that goes is when it progresses to a point of, let's say that it is an alcohol issue, and it progresses to the point where they're coming to work intoxicated or they're getting a DUI.
Yeah, it's actually the opposite, right?
100% the opposite, yes, sir.
It's the behavior of not seeking help that usually lands somebody in trouble because if their problems don't get addressed, whether it's alcohol-related or some other behavioral issue or just, you know, general mental health challenges that we all face that get exacerbated over time.
Yes, sir.
That then manifest itself in things that we can't do anything about in terms of adjudicating their service. So I think the great message you shared there is that seeking that help early, because seeking help is a sign of strength.
Absolutely.
And we want to make sure that people understand that, and that typically means that everything's going to work out in due time. Now, sometimes those processes take a minute.
They do.
Because this is the Air Force and we have to go through processes. But ultimately, and I think we've seen that success here at the wing time and time again, where we get airmen the help they need, we get them on the track that they need to be on, continue to support them, and then when the time comes, they're able to return to duty, you know, get qualified again, whatever the case may be. So with the time we've got left here, why don't we talk about, over the next couple minutes, some of the things we've got going on this month.
Sure.
And some changes to our staffing that deal with mental health and mental fitness.
Yes, sir. Well, as you said in the beginning of the podcast, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we are going to have a Mental Health Awareness Day, and it's going to be on Wednesday, May the 20th, and we hope that any and all can come. I realize it's during the week, but please don't let that deter. If you're able to come, there'll be a lot of great vendors here. You can wear civilian clothes. The day starts with an 8 o'clock prayer walk and breakfast over at the Tackett House. And at 10 o'clock, I'm going to host suicide prevention in the wing briefing room for anybody who needs it. That'll go on from 10 to around 11. And then from 11 to 1300, there's going to be food trucks and therapy dogs. And that's always a really good time if you like dogs. And then also on May 27th, I did this last year, there's going to be a blood drive on May 27th at Joint Force Headquarters from 10 to 1600. And then your other question was?
We had two staffing changes, right? Mm-hmm. You want to announce those real quickly?
Sure.
Or let people know what's coming, I should say.
Sure. I guess to kind of add a little bit to that about me talking about leadership being in such great support of members seeking help, and we're working to really create that culture here in our wing, you know, it's really exciting and important to announce that we now have a full-time chaplain up at Building 145, which is where I am also located, and it's Chaplain Davis, and he's really wonderful if you are looking for somebody to talk to and you're in the spiritual aspect of that. Even if you're not, you can go and see Chaplain Davis, and he's here full time. And then also around mid-May, we are hiring a second DPH, which is so, so very, very exciting. And hopefully she'll be here for June UTA to introduce to everybody.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Colonel, everything that Brianna was talking about is like the resources that we have, right, that we're providing. I would like to really just foot stomp the most important resource we have, and it's our members watching out for each other. It's our wingmen. They are the first line without a doubt.
Yes, they are.
And then these are additional resources that they can push people to or let them know. But, you know, it's great that we can provide these resources, but the very first line resources are airmen watching out for each other.
That's a great point, Chief. It's a great way to kind of wrap up this discussion. Thank you, Brianna, for joining us this month. Thank you, Sergeant McConnell, for putting everything together. And thank you for those of you that are out there listening. Just want to, again, express our gratitude for everything that you're doing to keep yourself and this wing ready to go.
And that will do it for this episode of The Drop. We would love to hear from you. If you have any ideas for future episodes, send them over to us at 130.aw.public.affairs@us.af.mil. You can also visit us on the web at www.130aw.ang.af.mil and connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. From everyone at the 130th Airlift Wing, remember, stay ready to go.